Well, good morning, everyone, and do want to just say thank you for all that you've done for Shirley and I and this contribution. We said don't do this, but we're thankful and we appreciate you doing that for us. And we would invite you over to our house, but you'd have to tip around on all the glass. No, we swept up as much glass as we could, but I don't know that I've told you all, but I will tell you now, so I kind of get you all at once. But when that explosion happened, fortunately, I was right here. I was preaching, and we didn't hear it here. But I looked on Facebook that same week, and people as far away as Georgetown said they heard the explosion. And it's kind of weird. I guess maybe there's hills between us and there. And at any rate, so I get in the car because my wife stayed home with a sick grandson who had been hit by a car and was was hurt and laid up in bed. And the part of the ceiling had fallen down in the room that he was in, and you know, the sheetrock and stuff. But fortunately, right where he was, it did not fall, and it's still daring to fall. It's cracking up and hanging in that particular room. But when I had a little text when I got in the car that something happened at the house, and there are police everywhere, and to get in, I have to come in the back way. And I thought this has got to be a joke, you know. And then I got a message from somebody else. I think maybe Shirley or somebody. So I get home, and yeah, there's ambulances and fire trucks and everything just all up and down our street, and a bunch of looky-do people. They'd heard the explosion and came. And so we had people parked in our front yard and all the way up and down DK Ranch Road. And anyway, when I got there, every back window in the house, every back window, upstairs and downstairs, completely shattered in. And glass as far as it could go, all the way to the front of the house. In fact, when I walked in the front door, which looked straight back to the dining room, which has three large glass panes, there was nothing but glass on the floor, just solid glass all the way. And that took a couple of days to clean up and a big mess. And went around and looked at the top of the roof from behind the house, and there's a section where the house comes together like this, and the blast evidently hit there and couldn't go anywhere else, so it went down, and the roof is, all the rafters in that particular part of the roof are completely broken, and got a sagging little roof there, and humongous mess, pieces of their house all in our backyard. We call it the back 40. It's a little further apart back there. It's not 40, maybe 40 feet, but anyway, if you go further back, you can see the house from our backyard. But well, not the house, the ruins. There's just nothing there. The house completely blew up. The man is in serious condition. The neighbor next to them is in serious condition still, last we heard. And initially they said 25 houses were damaged by this explosion in our neighborhood, and then they upped it to over 60 houses because you didn't have to be very far away for the concussion to at least break people's windows and stuff. And so there's quite a few houses in our neighborhood that have plywood up on their windows to cover. So what an experience. And and yet fortunately, thank God, everybody survived. And Shirley was in a place in the house where she was protected, and so was our grandson. He was in one of the front rooms without the windows from the back. And anyway, what's that got to do with the lesson? Well, nothing, but let me just wanted to say thank you that we're probably going to be in a rental place till they said 6 months or more, and they haven't even begun. They've had engineers in to look at all the walls, and they said they're sure we have lots of other things broken in the garage. We have some broken wood, and in every room, underline every, we have something cracking or broke or something. And so what a mess. But just continue to pray for us. But you know, we'll get all past this, and we may have a heavily improved house. I don't know. Some of you weren't able to be at Wilson's services yesterday. I understand that it was all the way up in Killeen, but it was at the Veterans Cemetery up there. It was very touching celebration of his life, and they played taps for him, and they did the flag. Wilson was in the United States Navy, and he and I spent a lot of time. You know, he was our treasurer, and he was in the hall office with next to mine, and so he and I spent a lot of time. He was like a best friend, and yet an elder at the same time for this church, didn't you just love Wilson? And he was just a wonderful, wonderful man, and was such a good elder. And one of the things about Wilson and our other elders at that time was that Wilson was very concerned about this church, and he was always coming up with ways that we could reach out more and how we could do good for each other and for the church. And he just was one of those kind of people. And you know, we kind of joked at the ceremony that, you know, he's can be a little caustic at times, but who can't, you know? And we all are that way to some extent. But overall, he was and I mean really overall, he was just the most wonderful, gentle person, gentle man, and had a wonderful family, still does, and it's good to have them with us today. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll get started in our lesson. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for today, and we thank you for this time that we can come together as your church and worship. We pray you'll bless us now as we go into your word, spend a little time there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, unfortunately, without the PowerPoint, you don't know the title of the lesson, but the title of the lesson is Be Like Paul. And I mean Paul in the Bible. We want to be like him. And we're in Acts 26, if you like to look at your Bible. If you like to take notes, I would recommend these 5 points that I want to share with you. All you got to do is write the points down in the text, and then you can come back to it later, and you could pick out some things from there that are beneficial for you. Thank you for Festus. Now, not the guy from Gunsmoke, but Festus from the Bible. He invited King Agrippa to come and listen to the Apostle Paul tell his story about how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and how Jesus had brought him to faith. And so Festus wanted Agrippa to listen because he needed something to write to Caesar as to why Paul was being sent to Caesar. And so Agrippa gives him permission to speak. This is the beginning of chapter 26, and so Paul begins to tell his story. And he talks first about himself and how his whole purpose in life at that time was to go after every Christian he could and have them arrested, even signing death warrants for them, and that he traveled as far away as other foreign cities, one of which was Damascus. And so he tells the story of when he got to Damascus. He hadn't quite got to Damascus, though, and a light came from heaven and struck all the people with Paul down, and Jesus said this, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So the first thing Jesus said to Paul, well, he called him Saul. We understand God changes his name later. If it's okay with you, I'm going to call him Paul, all right? But here he's still Saul. And so Saul is telling this story, and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." How would you like for Jesus to appear to you like that after you've been persecuting and say, "I'm the one you've been persecuting, and you've just seen a great light from heaven, and you've all been struck down by me, and you've heard my voice speaking to you, asking why are you persecuting me, and that's who I am. I am Jesus." Well, of course, Paul didn't think Jesus was anything. Now he did. You know, he changed real quick, and all of us would as well. But Jesus gives him really what I want to just call for us in our lesson, because preachers do this, 5 points. And so I want to give you 5 points that we can be like Paul in this sense, as he was struck down on the road and he wanted to know what would you have me do to Jesus? And Jesus said, here's the first one. This is the point is, if you like taking notes, is be self-motivated. We're going to talk about reaching out. Some of the songs have been on outreach, if you probably noticed. But this is a non-guilt trip sermon on reaching out to other people. We preachers have a tendency sometimes to put guilt on us, you know, why you're not doing this. You ought to be doing this, you know. Think of all the people that are going to be lost. It's like the song that I listened to again today from an old country and western guy. You never mentioned him to me. You remember that song? You never helped me see the light or the light to see. You were with me day by day, but you never showed me the way. You never mentioned him to me. Talk about a guilt trip song. But sometimes I guess guilt is okay. You know, the Bible sometimes does cause us to feel that guilt that we should. But I want us to see this in a positive light, that we can all be this. And that's the point. Be self-motivated. Look what he says in verse 16. He says, now get up and stand on your feet. I love that. We would have said, now get up and stand on your own two feet, right? In other words, you know, this is going to be for you, you know, be self-motivated. You know, to reach out to people, instead of feeling guilty and doing it out of guilt, let's be motivated, you know, let's be motivated to reach out to people around us. And a self-motivation, again, not forced, but just chosen. Yes, I'm going to reach out to people. You know, it sounds like Jesus is starting out with the guilt trip, though, you know. But no, you got to want to. That's it. You got to want to do this. And that's what standing on your feet has to do with. Remember in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul saw a vision, another one. This one was real, Jesus from heaven. This other was real too, but it was in a more of a vision fashion. And Paul had wanted to travel up in the gospel, up into Bithynia, which is to the north in Asia Minor. And he wasn't allowed to go. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. And so he went to Troas, and they camped out that night. And he had a vision, and the vision was a man in Macedonia. You remember that story? And you remember what he was saying? Come over into Macedonia and help us. He was inviting Paul to come, and that's really what reaching out to people should be. Come over and help us. People may not say that to us, but we ought to be motivated, self-motivated, that's really what they need, and it would be good for us to come over and to help them. And so be self-motivated. Here's the second point, and that is be a servant. Be a servant. First, be self-motivated, but now be a servant. Look what Jesus says here. He says, now get up and stand up on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant. To appoint you as a servant. Now, there's some good motivation there that, you know, whenever you talk to people about the Lord, family members, friends, perhaps just somebody you meet and you're talking about odds and ends of things and the Christianity, God, Christ, things like that come up. See yourself as a servant. I'm really just here to serve that person. And forget about yourself and think about what it means to that person. And so serve them. That's the passage right there. Philippians chapter 2, if you'd like to jot down scriptures, verses 3 through 4. Paul writes, in humility, now there's that servant, in humility, value others more than yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. I've always liked that passage. It just teaches us the right order of things. We like to put ourselves first in life, and that's natural. We love ourselves. That's why God says, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But Paul is kind of flipping that and saying to love your neighbor. It means sometimes forgetting about yourself and valuing that neighbor over you. You know, you're already in the faith. And so, you know, you've got one leg up on some others. And so to be a servant would be to forget that, forget yourself, and just serve other people. I love the parable Jesus used about the servant in the field. That's the parable of the servant that's been out working all day in a hot, sweaty field. He's just as dirty as he could be, and he comes in, and Jesus says in the parable, "Do you think that the owner of the house and of the field is going to ask the servant to sit down and let me serve you?" He said, "No way. You know, he's the master, and so he's going to ask the servant or tell the servant, continue to serve and make a meal for me," and those kinds of things. Sounds like a bad parable, but it's a parable to teach us to be servants, no matter what. And servants sometimes is sometimes sweaty work. It's involved kind of stuff. But Jesus says, "I have appeared to you to appoint you a servant." Do you think that God has also appointed us to be servants? Yeah. Appreciate you. Several of you are nodding your heads. That's right. He's appointed us. Again, not a guilt trip. It's a good thing. He's appointed us to be. It's a matter of the heart and being a servant. But here's number three, and that is to be a witness. Jesus says this, and I've left out a servant because he put them together, but he says, "I have appeared to you to appoint you a witness." So the first was a servant to appoint you, now a witness. Now, I grew up in the church where preachers were always saying, "Well, we're not witnesses," because the witnesses were only those who witnessed Jesus and his resurrection and Jesus after the resurrection. And that's true, you know, we're not witnesses like that. Paul was a witness because he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus as the resurrected Jesus, and actually as the ascended Jesus. He's already been to heaven. But Paul saw Jesus, and Jesus said, "That's who I am." And so Paul could now testify, he can bear witness that he saw Jesus risen from the dead. That's a good fact thing for all of us whenever we try to talk to people about Jesus Christ, especially unbelievers, that there were plenty of witnesses. Remember 1 Corinthians 15? In that place, Paul mentions several different individuals who had seen the risen Christ, as well as 500 all at once. And so there were plenty of witnesses of the resurrection. But this is a witness in another way for all of us. We're still witnesses in the sense that we're witnesses of what God has done for us, you know, how God has given us assurance, how he's given us hope, how we feel the love of God. And we could be witnesses of that, can we not? Can we not say, "Boy, you really ought to be a Christian because it takes a burden away. And you know that no matter what happens in your life, that you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven." And we're all kind of, we're giddy about that, the idea that we can go to heaven and that God is going to save us. And John chapter 4, where Jesus talks to the woman at the well, remember the disciples went in to 7-Eleven to buy some groceries and maybe some Coca-Cola or something like that. And while they're in, woman comes to the well and Jesus is there, and they strike up a conversation, and Jesus talks about him being the water of life, you know. And he knows enough about her that the person that she was living with was not her husband, that she's had several husbands before him. And of course, non-condemning, but just letting her know that he knows about her. And so the woman went into town, and here's where she's a witness like we could be. She said, come and see. He told me everything about myself." Now, there's an example of us being witnesses too, where we've experienced the goodness and the peace that passes understanding through God. And we can say to other people, "Hey, come and see. Try it out. You will not believe what God is all about and what God was about at the coming of Jesus Christ. He was to save your soul and have your sins forgiven." And we could share that with other people. And therefore, we're witnesses. So be a witness, number three. Be self-motivated, not out of guilt, but, you know, say, hey, I want to be a little more open about my faith to other people. Be a servant. Realize people need you. And think of other people first. And then third, be a witness. And now number four, be fearless. Be fearless. Look what he says here. Now, he doesn't use that terminology, but look what he says to Paul after he tells him, you're going to be a witness of what you've seen and what you will see of me. That's verse 16. Verse 17, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. And then he says, I am sending you to them, and dot, dot, dot. Let's stop right there. Verse 17 is the key. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. Now, don't get me wrong. As Christians, God doesn't always, quote unquote, rescue us. There are going to be times, we just talked about it in our Bible class, where we're going to suffer sometimes because of our faith. Some people are going to ridicule us. And in some parts of the world recently in our lifetime, we've heard of people who've had their heads cut off. You know, they've been killed because of their faith. And that has happened throughout history. And so it could happen to us. But even if that happens to us, we're going to be okay. We ought to be fearless no matter what happens. And isn't that what the disciples said, the apostles said to the leaders in Rome, that we don't care what you do to us. We have to serve God rather than men. And that's the idea. Don't worry. I think the number one fear is speaking in public, right? That's right. Number one fear. I'm scared to death up here. You know, but when you come up here, it's a scary thing. And I used to teach speech and in Reno and Nevada, and people are afraid of speaking. But the second one is this this fear here that I got to kind of hide my faith because people are going to make fun of me. Maybe they're not going to like me. They may not want to associate with me anymore. You might have lost friends over time in your life because you've become a Christian, shared your faith. You know, I didn't lose a lot of friends, but I'd lost some when I was in high school in Arlington, Texas. And some of the people that I used to associate with, I became a Christian. They kind of backed off, you know. So sometimes that's a penalty that you suffer, you know. And yet we should be fearless that no matter what, really those kind of things happen, that they're going to happen. But I can speak up for the Lord and be fearless. So don't fear those people. And Jesus said, don't fear those who can destroy your body. You know, fear God. If you're going to fear anything, fear God. And that's what Jesus was saying in the Sermon on the Mount. And here's the last one, number five, and that is to be inspired. Be a servant at the top and witness, and then be fearless. And, of course, self-motivated was the number one thing. Here's the last one, be inspired. Jesus says to Paul, remember, we're being like Paul. I am sending you to them. Now, listen how inspiring this is. Listen to this. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now that's Jesus. Is that not a mouthful? Now, is that not inspiring? I'm sending you, Paul, to open their eyes. Just think of the privilege we have of talking to people unashamedly, you know, about the faith and about God and about salvation, about the Bible and any story in the Bible that you could talk about, and David and Goliath and all the other stories, but especially centering on Jesus and salvation. You're opening people's eyes. You're turning them from the darkness, from light. You know, entering the kingdom of God is a choice. And people have to make that choice. Joshua said in Joshua 24, choose you this day whom you shall serve. But people need to know. They need to hear. Who do I, you know, what do I do? Well, you need to choose salvation. There are a lot of people that think that they don't really have to make a choice, that there's two kingdoms, the darkness and light. And I just won't be a part of either one of them. Hey, guess what? By default, all of us were naturally in the kingdom of darkness. That's why Jesus says, I'm sending you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wouldn't it be cool to be like Paul? It would be. And we can be. And we can be casually, not because somebody chastised us and told us that, you know, you never mentioned him to me. You never helped me the light to see. You were with me day by day, but you never showed me the way. You never mentioned him to me. It's a great country and western song. And it's probably true that sometimes people feel that way, and it maybe we ought to take it to heart. But I think instead of feeling guilt, you know, just be motivated and self-motivated. You know, I'm gonna be a little bit more brave, and I'm gonna speak up. I'm gonna be a servant. I'm gonna be a witness. I'm gonna be fearless, and I'm gonna realize, wow, what a thing to do! I'm gonna turn people, help to turn people from darkness to light, and from Satan to God. And isn't that great? Isn't that something that's worthwhile and be motivated by? Let's be motivated by that. I think Paul was, and we find Paul going on. I mean, he's in the middle of his ministry already when Festus comes and wants to Agrippa to hear him, and Agrippa hears him, and then afterwards they all get into the some little side room after they talk to Paul, and they all agree that Paul didn't do anything to be in prison for, or to be judged for, as they were sipping their tea, you know, or their wine, you know, these little Roman officials, and of course the Apostle Paul went on off to Saul and to Rome and was put in jail for a long time, but Jesus had called him to serve, and it might have cost him finally, but he calls us to serve too. So let's keep that in mind as we leave here today. Let's close it with a word of prayer, and then we want to invite you as we sing this song after this. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for words like Jesus to Paul. And Lord, we know he was just right then talking to Paul. But we can take what he said to Paul and find a way to apply it to ourselves. And we pray, Father, we will. Bless us now as we go on home. We spend some time this week. Maybe we can run into someone that we can share the gospel with and, you know, just talk the faith. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.